Hey there, it's Jet Teeley, the emeritus host of the SoCal Restaurant Show and the executive chef of Pak Pao Thai in Dallas. You're listening to the very best in Food 411 on AMA 30 KLAA.
And welcome back. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show, and we're here with you every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, right here on AM 830 KLAA, the home of Ducks hockey and Angels baseball. I'm Andy Harris, the executive producer and co-host of the show. Glad to have you out there. And we're enthusiastically presented to you each and every week by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats. In terms of outlets in Southern California that are reporting accurate information on restaurant comings and goings, one of my favorite sources for the last several years has been LA Eater. What really impresses me about LA Eater is they get a lot of breaking restaurant news way before anyone else, including that big LA newspaper that used to be based in downtown LA and is now based in El Segundo, which I chuckle a little bit about. And the reason that I laugh is the resources that the LA Times has compared to the small staff of LA Eater. It definitely is a bit like David and Goliath, yet David is there, so always impressive. So we enjoy catching up with their senior editor, Farley Elliott, whenever we can, because he is a busy guy. And as we're going towards the end of the year, definitely an opportune time to catch up with Farley. And it is a pleasure to welcome Farley Elliott back to the SoCal Restaurant Show. Also an author, Los Angeles Street Food, A History from Tamalieros to Taco Trucks. Farley, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, sir. Always nice to hear from you.
Farley, thank you. So we'll let the audience know what, you know, is a really wonderful thing that LA Eater is doing is you're getting more involved in covering the very dynamic and fast-paced Orange County restaurant scene. And a couple of weeks ago, a wonderful Indian restaurant that serves what they call Daisy Cuisine, Kansab in Fullerton, they had a little media gathering to celebrate them being able to reopen. Tragically, they opened right before the pandemic and had to shut down. And as you'll agree, Farley, you know, it's a beautiful restaurant, very well designed, very sophisticated. But they had a little media gathering of food media folks to let them know that they're back. And I was very pleasantly surprised to see you there. And you mentioned that, you know, you are doing more in Orange County. Tell us a little bit about that and what you thought about Kansab.
Well, yeah, absolutely. First of all, it was great to see you. It's always nice to be a little bit of a fish out of water sometimes. You know, as you said up top, we cover the Los Angeles dining scene pretty extensively, but not as much in Orange County as maybe we should be. And at 3.5 million inhabitants, a huge variety of cuisines and cultures, it's a really important growth area for us. And I'm a little bit realistic in the sense that I can't be everywhere at once. And so it's been my pleasure to get to know a lot of the great writers in Orange County and have you introduce me to some more and be able to let these folks into the Eater world a little bit so they can start to hopefully tell the stories that we already enjoy from a Los Angeles perspective just down here in Orange County. And that is things like Kansab, beautiful Indian restaurant, the kind of place that Michelin has taken notice of. You know, it's the sort of restaurant that I've been meaning to get to but haven't been able to get out of Los Angeles County as much as I would like. And so to pop down and meet a bunch of fresh faces and see you was certainly a delight, and delicious food, of course.
No, it was, you know, it was really a fun evening. And Chef Ali there, who is the executive chef, it's obvious that he works very hard. And he's also very articulate in terms of explaining what this Daisy Cuisine is and what they're trying to do there and what they're trying to accomplish. And I just so hope, Farley, that the Fullerton community and areas around them supports Kansab, because they really deserve support. They're doing something special in a little bit of an unexpected area. And a lot of people, as I think you'll agree, and they don't really understand Indian cuisine, or it seems a little foreign and unacceptable or inaccessible. And believe me, Kansab is accessible.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, there's no single defining characteristic to Indian cuisine. You've got, you know, spicy stuff in the southern half of the country, more broadly speaking, kind of rustic, heartier foods in the northern part of the country. You know, you're talking about a massive place, and to try to define it singularly is just not possible. And I think in America and Southern California specifically, we maybe overlook Indian food a little bit to our detriment. You go up into the Bay Area, other parts of the country, there are really beautiful Indian restaurants, many of them vegetarian, that cater to a huge population of Indians there. We have Artesia here and a lot of grocery stores and particular places and neighborhoods that might foot the bill. But most of the Indian folks that I know, including people like Khushbu Shah from Food and Wine, who's now moved here to Southern California, are sort of lamenting the lack of really beautiful, high-end, and kind of ever-present Indian food here. And so I hope Khan Saab absolutely can help to turn that tide a little bit. And like you said, I hope the people of Fullerton are paying attention, because it's certainly worth it.
Farley, amen to that. One thing that I've noticed, Farley, that Eater LA is doing more in the last year, in addition to breaking restaurant news, you do a lot of in-depth features. You also do profile pieces of, you know, the best of a certain type of cuisine. Where can you, you know, where can you get it? And very comprehensive lists. In terms of an editorial policy, is that something that is a conscious decision on your part to do more of? Because it's certainly very helpful and always topical when those lists are out there.
Well, certainly. And, you know, we're smart enough to recognize that we live in a very digital age. And one of the advantages I think we have over a traditional newspaper or magazine is that we can be fast and nimble and reach people where they're at, which, for better or worse, is often on their phones. And so our lists, our updated neighborhood guides, things like that perform really well from an overall traffic and numbers perspective. But I think the thing that really gives heart to the site and keeps people coming back more than anything else is our features. We like to highlight independent restaurant operators. During the pandemic, we talked a lot about people that were cooking food out of their home, many of them former laid-off restaurant workers. And as you said up top, I wrote a book about street food and its history, broadly speaking, in Southern California. And so, you know, we want to really try to tell stories that matter to people in the way that they dine. And sometimes that's going out to Riverside to talk about newly legalized home restaurants. And sometimes it's the hot new restaurant in Santa Monica. We try to do a little bit of everything.
Well, Farley, an excellent example of that type of feature reporting is Eater was very early with a correspondent to talk about a wonderful chef that's doing, it's really more than a pop-up, but it's just, it's a limited number of hours. And this is Melissa Ortiz in Long Beach at Rose Park. Tell us a little bit about how that story originated, because the in-depth piece you had your correspondent do was, you know, really wonderful, and it definitely motivated me to get down there very quickly and discover what Melissa is doing. And as a matter of fact, in a week or so, she's going to be a guest on the show.
Oh, amazing. Melissa's a really fantastic talent. She's a Southern California native who spent a number of years cooking as part of the military. She actually worked in Afghanistan and helped to cook for service members there and people who are on the political side, maybe not fighting so much. But it's been a really remarkable journey for her to go to culinary school, go cook over there, get called back into service, build relationships with Afghanis over the years. And now she's taking a lot of those personal flavors and relationships and bringing them to her cooking at Rose Park Roasters, while also being really personal and true to herself. I think the ultimate beauty of it is that, you know, where else really in America can you have a person with that kind of varied background and personal connection to food who's cooking out of, you know, what is essentially just a coffee shop with a small kitchen? It's the kind of overlap of themes and flavors that is really only possible here.
Well, and Farley, she is so personable, and to let our listeners know, this is a very limited engagement type of situation. So it is dinner Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I hope I'm getting this right. And then brunch on Saturday and Sunday. I believe that's right. Does that kind of coincide with what your memory is?
I believe so, yeah. And as you said, these things kind of come and change over time. And so it's important to follow along wherever that looks like. Maybe it's a website or Instagram. But in this modern multimodal age, you've really got to be nimble about telling people where you are and where to find you. So I'm sure she's, you know, promoting it widely all over social media.
Farley, I think you have it right. I think Melissa's favorite means of communication, the Instagram, seems to be the most current for, you know, all developments. So again, Farley, congratulations, you know, to your team for getting that. And also, I heard about it at the same time from Anne-Marie Panaringan, who is the food writer for Voice of OC. She had just happened onto that place, too, and, you know, immediately let me know, because she knows I cover Long Beach, that something extraordinary is going on here. And I hope we're not telling tales out of school here, Farley, but I hear under fairly good authority that Anne-Marie may start contributing to L.A. Eater, and I hope that all comes to pass.
Yeah, well, that's certainly the hope on mine as well. Anne-Marie is one of those beautiful and long-running voices for Orange County that we want to tap into more and more to help tell stories down here. Simply, like I said, I can't be everywhere at once, and she's got a great eye for the unexpected. You know, stumbling into places is kind of what she does best. Other writers like Jen Tanaka down here in Orange County, these are people that we really want to work with as much as possible to help broaden our base in Orange County, because there are so many stories to tell.
Well, Farley, again, you know, in this current environment where a lot of media are cutting back, you know, it's heartening that in terms of the world of L.A. Eater, that you're looking to increase coverage, you know, particularly in Orange County, which sadly, as you recognize, is really underrepresented. You know, we lost OC Weekly, which did a lot of good reporting in the food and restaurant genre. The Register, unfortunately, isn't what it used to be. You know, a lot of very severe cutbacks in terms of their editorial. And they're just, you know, they're not a lot of other sources. So again, your direction and what you're doing is definitely heartening.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, there's so much to be told. And you can look on Instagram, you can find influencers. You know, there's pockets of knowledge out there. But I think for average readers, people maybe on a bit of a truncated timetable who want to know more about these, we have an opportunity to grow into that space and help them reach a wider audience, and also crucially help these small businesses to reach more potential diners. That's kind of what it's about at the end of the day. There's so much beauty in the food scene here. We just want to let people know.
And Farley, on that point, it is Small Business Saturday today, and this evening I am going to be patronizing a family-owned independent restaurant, and we would encourage all of our listeners, even though you're probably in a little bit of a food coma for Thanksgiving, you know, do consider that neighborhood weekend or neighborhood restaurant for this weekend. Believe you me, they would love to see you. Farley, we need to take a quick pause here. We're going to pick this up after our top of the hour break, so don't wander far. We're going to talk about comings and goings, more specifically in L.A. this year. It's been a very eventful year. We're speaking with Farley Elliott, who is the senior editor of L.A. Eater. It is the SoCal Restaurant Show. We're proudly presented by Melissa's World Variety Produce and West Coast Prime Meats.